Good morning, Wisconsin.
Morning, world.
It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
And we have Beth Habacker with us.
Good morning.
9:05 on the clock and fun stuff lined up this hour. Good stories of the day and then a right story, some entertainment news, all of that coming up right now, though, everybody. It is time for the kitchen to be open. Something good. Floor is all yours, ladies.
All righty. Well, it's December now, and we've talked about nothing but food on the Kitchen's Open for the last month.
Yep.
Yes. I know it's a kitchen show, and it's kind of the place for food, but what about other things we can use to enhance our homes and our health? Say, for instance, plants.
Yeah.
Specifically, spices and even trees that we can use to make the month of December even better.
I see what you did there. Uh-huh. Christmas trees. Yeah, let's start with pine, obviously. We all know it's the usual choice for a Christmas tree, and many of us decorate with pine wreaths or boughs this time of year. But did you know that pine has a myriad of health benefits as well? We should add a disclaimer right now that neither Melissa or I are doctors or skilled herbalists. So just take everything we have and do more research, you know, double check, make sure we're not giving you incorrect information. But we don't recommend ingesting any of these items without consulting your primary care physician.
Correct. Because while all of this is interesting and has been historically used, it's still a good idea to make sure you're getting a quality product and that it's something that's not going to interfere with anything else you're already taking.
Exactly. No medicine interactions.
Right. We don't want that.
No.
So, well, there are more than 100 pine species worldwide, and pine has been used for centuries around the globe as a medicine and even food during times of scarce food supply. Specifically, white pine has been used in the U.S. by Indian tribes and introduced to European settlers as a source of medicine and added nutrition.
Yeah, fresh pine needles and bark are rich in vitamin C. In 1535, French explorer Jacques Cartier and his crew drank tea made from the bark of a pine tree and escaped death by scurvy. So it helped keep them healthy.
Yes. Well, you know, when you don't have cabbage,
right?
Try pine needles.
Why not? And it turned out to be a wonderful thing. And the needles also contain vitamin A. So they have two different key vitamins for us. Tea made from pine needles has been used to treat fevers, coughs, and colds, which would be great this time of year.
Yeah, it's a good time.
You can also use the needles in a steam inhalation to break up the phlegm in the lungs. Mm-hmm. So use it as part of an inhaler. Kind of like a Vicks thing.
Right. You can decoct it into water and then in a bowl, towel over your head kind of thing.
Yeah.
So the bark of a pine tree is even more astringent and has historically been used as a microbial poultice and even infused in bath water to ease achy muscles and pains. I found this interesting. The bark can be pounded into a flour that was considered a survival food in times of great hunger.
Wow.
So, dubbed famine bread by Vermont writer Ewell Gibbons. It's edible and nutritious, but he said the flavor might be an acquired taste.
Yeah, not what you would traditionally think of for flour.
No.
Pine needles can also be eaten and are much tastier
than the bark.
Yeah, the needles are better than the bark. We found a recipe for candied pine shoots, white pine shoots specifically. New shoots should be boiled in plain water until tender, and then boiled again for 20 minutes in a syrup made of half sugar and half water, which is known as a simple sugar. So then they are rolled in granulated sugar.
That would be good.
Yeah, sugar on sugar.
Sugar and then more sugar.
Exactly.
Sure. Nice. Somebody say sugar. Did somebody call me? I thought somebody called me. I heard sugar.
So this would be an occasional treat, not an everyday kind of thing. There's another recipe for evergreen shortbread cookies that sound absolutely delicious. It uses 1/4 to 1/2 cup of fresh conifer needles, 1 cup of butter, 1/2 cup sugar, 2 teaspoons of orange zest, 1 pinch of salt, and 2 cups of all-purpose flour. The pine needles need to be chopped very finely.
Yeah, that's an important part.
Absolutely. You don't want big chunks in there, just nice and fine. And the result is a highly aromatic cookie that tastes like a forest.
you know, what you're looking for when you make a cookie.
If you can't go to the forest, bring the forest to you.
To your kitchen. And another way you can use pine is as a household cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use pine needle infused vinegar with baking soda and Castile soap for a natural cleaner that smells wonderful.
Yeah, there's a popular name brand out there that kind of plays on this.
Yeah, they kind of do. But you can make it yourself, and you simply put the pine needles in a container with vinegar and let it infuse for a period of time. And you can use that two ways. You can use it as a, like, you know, balsamic vinegar.
Ooh.
So you can use it in food, but then you can also use it as a cleaner.
Very nice.
And we all know vinegar and baking soda are together amazing cleaners.
Absolutely. In many different ways. But, you know, conifers and pines are not the only spice that we can go to, especially in this time of year. Mm-hmm. Cinnamon is another common spice used during December, and it so has a wonderful aroma. Brings back memories. Of, you know, you think Christmas cookies and baked goods and, of course, warm ciders. You know, think apple cider. Oh, yummy. It has a sweet floral clove-like, earthy and spicy aroma, and is used in many spice blends in cultures around the world.
Yes. Did you know that there are two main types of cinnamon?
I really
did not know this.
No.
Yep. So there's true or Ceylon cinnamon, which is the dried bark from trees that originated in Sri Lanka and southern India.
Hmm.
The other type, cassia or Chinese cinnamon, originated in China. So true cinnamon is light brown, has a sweet taste, and is very expensive.
Mm.
The more common type, cassia cinnamon, is darker, has a reddish color, and a spicier taste, and is much less expensive.
Yeah.
So true cinnamon has lower levels of coumarin,
yeah.
Which can be toxic to the liver at high amounts.
Yeah.
But cassia cinnamon has much higher levels and should not be consumed regularly in large amounts. So the cinnamon that we all can buy easily over the, you know, at the grocery store is the one that has the higher levels. So you shouldn't take large amounts of cinnamon daily.
Okay.
It's basically what that boils down to.
Yeah. You can take small amounts, everything in moderation.
Yes.
And cinnamon has been used as an ingredient and as a medicine for thousands of years, dating back as far as ancient Egypt, when it was regarded as a gift for the kings. So it was used by medieval physicians to treat coughing, hoarseness, and sore throats. It was also valued for its preservative qualities for meat, due to the phenols it contains, which inhibit bacterial growth. So plus, it can mask the stench of aging meat. So if you didn't want to smell the meat, you could smell the cinnamon.
And then still eat the meat.
There you go.
Hope you didn't get sick. So while there has not been a lot of human studies done on the benefits of cinnamon, some research shows that it may be good for people with diabetes, as some studies suggest it might lower blood sugar and cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
It's also been suggested to help with irritable bowel syndrome, heart disease, Alzheimer's disease, cancer, HIV infection, tooth decay, and allergies. But these studies have only been done in cells or animals.
Okay.
So it does have antioxidant, antibiotic, and anti-inflammatory properties, but they need to do more research on how it works in humans.
So there are several benefits to it, and it tastes good too. So why not try, you know, a little bit of cinnamon every day? Cinnamon does have a warming, stimulating energy that encourages circulation throughout the body. So in teas, it adds a sweet, earthy, and warm element and helps to round out other flavors. It often is an ingredient in things like chai tea, which is delicious.
You can't go wrong with a good chai tea.
No. And you know, then you can use it with creamier things like cinnamon de leche. So it's a good additive.
Yes. So in baked goods, cinnamon stands on its own as a spice. Cinnamon rolls, coffee cake, apple pie, snickerdoodles, baked elephant ears, and cinnamon swirl bread.
Yum.
Yum. Need we say more on the benefits of cinnamon?
Well, and it blends well with other spices.
Oh, yes.
Which is a great thing. I mean, think of pumpkin pie. One of the main spices in there is cinnamon. So it can be used in a plethora of ways.
Exactly.
So We're starting to run low on time, but there are a few more spices that need to be mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Nutmeg.
Clove.
Ginger.
Allspice.
Peppermint.
Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
There are so many fun spices that you can play around with this time of year, and that will make your home smell delicious and make Christmas a truly enjoyable experience for all of your senses.
Absolutely.
And one all right, go ahead.
No, I was going to say one of the things that, going back to cinnamon, that we used to do, my mom was great at this. You mix cinnamon with granulated sugar. Mm-hmm. And then you make a piece of toast and you butter it lightly and you sprinkle the cinnamon sugar on top.
Cinnamon sugar bread. Mm. It is so good.
Mm. Now with that,
we'll close the kitchen.
Hey, thank you so much, you two. That was fantastic. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. I also have to ask you both to start making some of the things that you were talking about, because I'm going crazy over here. Like, I'm trying to, like... I'm basically chewing on the inside of my mouth. I'm so hungry. It sounds so good. Thank you so much for another amazing segment, you two. And to our audience, thank you so much for supporting this segment and spreading the word about it and giving us such good feedback about it. Be listening next Monday for another Kitchens Open from Melissa and Beth. We'll take a break right here and come back with some entertainment news and plenty more fun on Mornings at WFHR, Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, Locally Grown Radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there. Going to get you ready for plenty more good stuff coming up, but diving into some entertainment news right now, and we start on a melancholy note. Bob McGrath, one of the true, like, originals of Sesame Street, passed away yesterday at his home in New Jersey. He was 90 years old. Wow. There's no word on the cause of death. Bob was a Sesame Street cast member from day one on November 10th of 1969. He was with the show through 2016. Bob started singing at the age of five. He sang in the 7th Army Symphony Orchestra for 2 years while he was in the service. He was also popular in Japan, where he released albums of folk songs and ballads in Japanese.
Wow.
All right.
Bob also sang on an NBC show called Sing Along with Mitch from 1960 to 1964, and he did a stint singing Gregorian chants at funerals.
Oh, wow.
Bob's classic Sesame Street jams include Sing, Sing a Song and The People in Your Neighborhood. The People in Your Neighborhood was the one that my sister, I don't care where that song was being played in the house or in the apartment, I should say, Jillian would come rushing out. One of the most friendly faces in TV history.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that's not real, a real category, but it is because of people like Bob and shows like Sesame Street.
Yeah. He felt like Uncle Bob, you know, just a part of the family.
Generally can say that man was one of the few, like, greeting faces that many of us kids had growing up. One of the friendly faces. And you knew when you turned on Sesame Street, you were safe. You were going to get some good stuff. You were going to enjoy your stuff. You were going to laugh. You were going to learn something. It was such a fun show. Bob was an integral part of that show, because all these things we mention are great. I think it is noteworthy, and I've seen some people coming out and mentioning this, especially on a kids show and a puppet show. Especially, you look at the early days of that show. So much wasn't planned. It was them working together creatively, and one person coming up with an idea and the other person and coming together. And it wasn't necessarily like nobody really knows who gets credit for some of this stuff. It just happened. So who knows how many different things he influenced and helped create, whether it was stuff we saw on screen or stuff that was going on behind the scenes with the puppeteers or any of that. Just an incredible human being.
Yeah.
Lived a great life.
A part of our childhood.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. I did not get to see. I have not gotten to actually watch Saturday Night Live all season long. I've just been way too busy and have not been able to keep up on it.
Yeah.
I usually go back and watch a lot of these and watch, bits and pieces of stuff. So I missed this past Saturday Night Live, and I missed a doozy. Kiki Palmer, one of my favorite up-and-coming young actors.
Yeah.
It's so darn talented.
Oh, absolutely.
If you get a chance to see the movie Nope, and you are into thrillers, you're into, it's hard to call it a horror movie. It's more of a suspense movie. There's a bit of horror to it, but it's much more like the way Jordan Peele films, it's Alfred Hitchcock modernized. It's very suspense filled. She's in the movie Nope, and she just blew me away. She was so darn good in her facial expressions, her natural, like, just way she is just naturally on screen. It's a really fun actress.
She is a Disney kid.
I just finding that out this weekend. I didn't even know that.
Voice actor. She was on the Loud Proud family and did several movies with Disney. So, and she's, I believe, on the series Call Me Cat with Maya Bialik.
Just another one of those, it's interesting we're talking about Saturday Night Live, which you can make the argument is the one of the greatest resource talents this country's ever had, with all the talent that has spun off of Saturday Night Live. You got to start saying that about the Disney stuff, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Disney has got quite the long list of great artists that they have discovered or brought out and all that. So Kiki, another one of those.
Yeah.
And Kiki Palmer hosted Saturday Night Live this weekend, and during her opening monologue, she did something nobody has ever done, and nobody maybe, if anybody does it again, they're just going to say they're doing a Kiki or something like that.
Okay.
She unbuttoned her coat to reveal her pregnant belly. Quote, there's some rumors going around. People have been in my comments saying Kiki's having a baby, Kiki's pregnant, and I want to set the record straight. And she did this as if she was building up to say, I'm not.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she just opens the jacket. I am. Some people feel a little weird about me having a baby because I was a child actor. I just want to say, look, I'm 29. I'm grown. I have sex. I own a home. I do things adults do. This will be the first baby for her and her boyfriend. Congratulations to both of them. Mazel tov, salu. Wishing them the best. And very well played.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's not a lot of privacy for celebrities nowadays. And how you handle that as a celebrity is really like good luck, you know? Because there's no class on this. There's no way we teach people how to handle these kind of things.
Right.
We don't teach people how to handle influxes of money or influxes of fame, certain things. There's no class on that. There's no how-to book.
Right.
I don't know why there isn't, but there isn't any of these things. So the way when people handle these things well, it's one more, okay, well, there's another lesson. There's another lesson out there for people. This is one way to handle if you are pregnant and you don't know necessarily how to tell the world. Maybe this is one of the ways to do it.
Go on Saturday Night Live. All right.
I don't know. It's an interesting story though, and more power to her. And then, of course, we are all things Dolly, so we of course have to cover whenever Dolly Parton is in the news. People are still asking Dolly Parton why she refused and then accepted being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it came up in an interview with Apple Music's Proud Radio that debuted yesterday. And she says, quote, I felt like I was taking votes from somebody that had spent a career trying to be in the hall. And I thought, what am I doing here? I felt like I was out of place, like I was betraying somebody else. Her opinion changed when the hall told her she deserved it and the decision was already made. Quote, then they explained that to me and said I wasn't going to get it anyway. So I thought, well, I'm going to accept it graciously. While we're on the subject, Dolly finally joined TikTok and posted several adorable clips.
Aww.
So she has been all over that now, apparently, too. But it's been fun and interesting, this whole process of talking about this, because whether it was intended or not, the conversation has gotten to, well, what is rock and roll and what is music? Mm-hmm. What is this? What is that? And it's kind of unintentionally, it's kind of showing what the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was always intended to be, really a music hall of fame.
Right.
Much more than just a certain genre. Mm-hmm. They didn't really do a great job maybe of marketing that. Rock and roll is a little like it's a catchy term. It's a catchy thing. So it's going to grab you.
Right.
And there was no Rock and Roll Hall of Fame at the time. So opening that up and having that was kind of understood. But their intentions were always to be, hey, do you play the accordion and you're world famous for it? You should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, if you're Burt Bacharach, you should be in, you know, whoever you are. If you're a famous jazz artist, you're a famous country artist, you're a punk rock star, you should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't think it's Dolly's fault or anybody's fault if you kind of skew at this. Hey, why is that rapper in there? Why is this guy in there? That's understandable because it's not necessarily common knowledge that it's supposed to be more of a music hall of fame than just rock and roll.
Right.
Um, I don't think, you know, I don't think that we could ever really rank, like, the list of things that she has done. Mm-hmm. Like, but there's so many little things that Dolly Parton has done with her career that, and whether they were intended or not, that have organically happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And been inspirational to so many other musicians.
Absolutely.
And people.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. That's a list that I don't think we could ever completely get the full numbers on of the amount of people she has influenced.
Yes.
And the amount of parents not naming their kids Jolene anymore. we're going to take a break. We're going to come back after Melissa's news and get into some fun stuff, good stories, Danny Wright stories. Plenty more coming up for you right here on Mornings at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. No, that just that sound gets you right away.
Snow, it won't be long before we'll all be there with snow. Snow, I wanna wash my hands, my face, and hair with snow.
You just can't cut that voice off. No. You cannot interrupt that voice. No. There's certain voices you will get fired. You will get nobody really fires you. You just understand.
Yes.
Okay, I should leave. I shouldn't have done that. I'm so sorry. I apologize. Welcome back to Morning Show on WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you guys are having a great one out there. Melissa, Beth, and James with you at 9:34 on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about this one.
Uh-oh.
So I think this may be a That Ain't Right story. Or maybe it's just a story inside with a That Ain't Right story inside of it. Let's see. So in a new survey, 47% of people admitted to having intentionally stretched the truth when it comes to online dating.
Okay. And only 47%
only
claim that?
Only admit it, yeah.
Right, they're the only ones that admit it.
And it's more common among men, 51%, than women, 44%. Interestingly enough, the most common thing people lie about is
their age.
That's a good guess. Beth, do you want to throw a guess in?
Their occupation.
Both good guesses, both of them, and both that I think were very fair. This answer doesn't make sense. Their current hairstyle. 61% of people have done that. This is probably having an outdated or misleading photo, not someone denying that they have a man bun. For men, that could be hiding their baldness or receding hairline. And for women, that may be how their hair is dyed using a photo from a fancy event like a wedding or something. The second most common lie is about their career. Points to Beth.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. Now, you bring up age, and that's something that I would have assumed, Melissa. It's very low on the list, it turns out. Now, that doesn't mean that people aren't lying about it or anything. And I think that, like all of these surveys, you know, I would love if they would tell you where they took the survey. I would really appreciate that, because if you go from Rapids to Point, you're going to get a different answer, let alone if you go from Wisconsin to California, you know, or something.
Yeah.
You're going to get different answers for any survey under the sun, no matter where you're doing it. I think it would be a little beneficial to just know where they're doing these surveys.
Right.
Is it
a regional thing? Is it a national thing?
Is it an online thing?
Yeah.
It would just help to kind of it would add a little more context to this. And while, you know, on one side, it would be interesting data wise, and on the other side, comedically, it would be a little more helpful.
Not having used these apps before, I would assume, now, so you all have to, if you've used it, have to correct me, that you just try to pick the best picture that makes you look the best. And if it's 10 years old, well, then your hairstyle is going to be different and you're going to look different, but I don't see that as lying. I see that as trying to put your best self forward.
Sure. I'm going to let Mel wrap this conversation up because she knows it a little better than either of us, Beth. But I've talked about this before. I have used one dating app before, and I have tried it once, and I don't get intimidated by things. It just doesn't happen. And I don't say that in some machismo way. Mm-hmm. I say it because I'm crazy. I'm a little more insane than your normal everyday person and everything. When it came to that, doing that, that was very intimidating to me.
Yeah.
I really felt like it's one thing to walk up to a girl at a bar and you know, okay, what am I going to say? How am I going to start this conversation? All that stuff. I felt like I was doing that with a billion women. I'm trying to talk to a billion women at right. once and put on a good front and also look good and all this stuff. And
be real in all of those
at the same yes at the same time trying to be myself because mm-hmm. I got a little lucky in this that I went into this whole thing very late in the game, so almost all my friends, almost all everybody I know had some feedback to give me right. hey, don't do this, hey, do this, that kind of thing. Even with all that, I still went into it just very kind of off guardish and stuff, and the picture thing was such a big one, like mm-hmm. I got all the words and all that and the headline, all these things, and it took a while doing that. And I feel confident with it. And then I think, oh my God, I didn't even think about a picture.
Right.
And that was insane to do because of all the things you guys were just touching on. Is it up to date enough? Did I use a filter? Should I not use a filter? Should I do this, this, and this? I really think that it wouldn't be harmful to have a little more like how to about right. these things and a little more, like, as silly as it may sound. I think that some people may be benefited by that.
Yeah. I agree, because actually there are more and more people our age who are now getting into the dating scene and using online dating apps because, well, that's where people meet now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Unless you want to meet somebody at a bar, and a lot of yeah. people don't want to do that. But the putting of a picture on your dating profile is a lot different for a woman than it is for a man.
Yeah.
Because I actually found my third time around putting up a dating profile, I actually put pictures of me that were not as flattering.
Really?
Yep. Hmm. I tried to choose pictures that were, like, just me, how I look, normal.
Okay.
Because I found that I got a more genuine response from men than, and a lot less just, wow, you're pretty, or, mm-hmm. gosh, I, you know, and then all the nasty things.
The hookup mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Right. The just the spamming, love bombing kind yeah. of stuff you're not looking for. Like, you want genuine responses. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to put, and they are not necessarily unflattering pictures, but they were like just me without makeup, like how I look every day.
More realistic.
Not some glamour shot from a show I was in or something like that. Mm-hmm. I just right. found that I got a better response just being genuine.
See, and I would have thought it would be the other way. You know, I don't necessarily take great pictures unless it's done by a professional. So I would want to put one of those more professional pictures up, mm-hmm. but, you know, I would never have thought that, you know, just put your natural self out there.
Mm-hmm. I say, then, go ahead, Mel.
Well, I was just going to say the response that I got from the person that I did end up with was, gosh, you're much prettier in person than you are aww. On your pictures. So, you know, that's kind of nice.
That actually leads into where I was going to go with it. I say you wake up in the morning, take a picture of yourself without anything, just right there and there, boom, shot. You put it out there. If you get dates, mm-hmm. when you show up to the date, you're going to look so much better than that picture. You're going to blow them away. You're like, oh my gosh.
Well, and you never know. Like, the feature that I thought was my least flattering feature is the one that my husband found the most attractive. It's one of the yeah. things that really caught his eye. So
isn't that the weirdest thing?
You never yeah. can tell. Yeah.
Now, I do know that for guys, it's completely different because yeah. girls get a lot more attention on dating profiles than guys, and where we have to kind of filter through the muck. For guys, they're just looking for, some of them, any response. Period.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The one app I use was one of the better ones, and it's, you know, apparently... what I liked about it is the women have to reach out to you first.
Okay.
That was the only way it works.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's Bumble.
Yeah, thank you. I couldn't remember what it was called. And it's how you find out you have a match and all those things mm-hmm. and stuff. So I like that because I don't like bugging people. I like the idea of somebody reaching out to me and I know where mm-hmm. I stand in all this. Mm-hmm. And then there's the whole crickets. Like, just oh. nothing. No, nobody's. And then all of a sudden, you start getting like somebody's nipping at the line, and you realize, oh, they're bots. Oh, it's just bots. That's all. Just a bot. So there's a lot of different things about these that are great. But I did want to touch on one other thing because we're kind of like flirting around the idea, but I want to get into the actual topic. Is online dating safer than traditional dating? And a study out of the University of Chicago proved that meeting meeting online is actually better than offline. They have found that married couples who meet through online dating are happier and less likely to get divorced. There are a lot of reasons why dating online is a success and oftentimes safer. This is an article that came out of February of this last year, and you can go to married.com to find the complete article. Again, married.com is where the complete article is. Again, this is all case by case stuff,
right,
and location by location maybe is even better way to put it. Whatever's worked for you, not to say that that's what you should continue to do, but if you feel safe doing what you're doing, I don't necessarily think you should change the game, you know, completely, especially if you're struggling to find a date, which is where that usually happens. I haven't met anybody going and doing this. I should try it this way. And, nothing's worth chancing your safety. So certainly, you know, hold that as strongly as you should.
Right.
You always need to verify that the person is who that they say they are.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone's being genuine, there's no reason why they wouldn't share information enough to let you know who they are. And then always let somebody know where you're going, when you're meeting them, when you plan to be home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those safety measures need to be in place, no matter how you're going about dating.
Right.
I've been on a handful of dates where we took a picture together that she could send to her friend. So not only did she show where we were and tag the location, but a picture of me. If anything had went wrong, she has her friend has a image of me to show to the authorities or something like that or whatever.
Exactly. Would it make sense to set up your first date as a double date?
Good.
So yeah, that way you have a whole other couple there that you've got that backup and safety plan.
Mm. Yep, but always meet in a public place for your first meeting is always a good safety thing.
And wouldn't you guys agree this is kind of the case with anything really online nowadays? If you're buying something from somebody online, any of these things, doing them in a public place, I mean, this is another reason why we have public parking lots.
Right.
You know, I mean, it really is. Gas stations.
With cameras.
And stuff. Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Incredible, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll go ahead right here and take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio, 9:48 on the clock. Got your host, James, joined by Melissa and Beth, and got some great stuff lined up for you this morning. Stick around, everybody, after we get in some That Ain't Right stuff and good stories of the day. We'll kick off Playmakers for this Monday. Of course, from 10 to 11, be sure to join us with your sports thoughts and feelings. It is a call-in show, so we want to hear from you guys. Mm-hmm. Feel free to call up at 424-2600. And Randy Paul will be joining us, and we're going to have a couple of other great guests. We will have Ross Provost from Burning Eights joining us. And before that, we're going to have head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings joining us. Looking forward to Coach Peckin joining us. It's going to be
wonderful.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we may even give away some River Kings tickets in that hour.
All right.
Be listening for that.
Yeah.
Big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing sponsoring Playmakers. And, of course, I want to mention our schedule. I want to touch on our schedule for the week here real quick. As far as the morning show, Melissa will be sitting in tomorrow with us. Looking forward to that. And then in Morning Magazine afterwards, we welcome in part one to kick off Morning Magazine for the week, Congressman Ron Kind.
All right.
Congressman Ron Kind is retiring. Mm-hmm. This will probably be one of his last, if not his last, chime on the air with us. Congressman Kind's been joining us on these airwaves for decades. We are so thankful to be able to get the time in that we could get him on the air with us and kind of catch up with him one last time before he goes off into the sunset of his political career.
Yeah.
It'll be a really, really, really good interview. Looking forward to that. And then in part two tomorrow, we'll catch up with the Southwick County YMCA, talk with them.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Looking forward to that. And we'll get into the rest of our schedule throughout the week here. A little bit later today, we have the Greg Gard Show at 6:05. Be sure to join us for that.
Okay,
That Ain't Right story time. If you asked a shoplifting expert, the dumbest time to steal something is probably when there is a police officer in the store. Not that we're saying, you know, what there is no way to be an expert at something like this or anything.
Anyway.
But, you know, just common sense.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
It's even worse when the store is filled with police officers.
What?
Filled with them. To the brim. A man in Florida named Brad was arrested for allegedly trying to steal from a Walmart while the store was hosting a Shop with a Cop event.
Oops.
I don't think that's what they meant with shop with the cop.
There were around 40 police officers shopping with kids in the Walmart at the time, including the county sheriff.
Oh, my.
Not surprisingly, this gentleman, he had drug paraphernalia on him at the time, and it's unclear what he was trying to steal. But in addition to trying to steal, he had some Versace cologne that he had stolen or something like that. Not from the Walmart, apparently, but from another store that they caught on him. They haven't said all the charges he's facing, but he is facing quite a few charges.
Wow.
There should be no sympathy whatsoever given to this human being, obviously. But no. I do think it is a little funny to imagine putting yourself in this person's shoes and just kind of walking into this Walmart with this, mm-hmm. this quote-unquote game plan in your head of what you were right. going to do and this great escape you were going to make afterwards, and walking and be like, okay, well, there's one police officer. Oh wait, there's another police officer. There's another one. Wait a minute. You would think then and there.
Maybe I should just turn around and leave.
Pull the cord. Yeah. Pull the cord on this one. Maybe not the day for this. But no, this genius, this criminal mastermind here.
I can get away with it.
Oh my goodness. That takes a lot of chutzpah.
That takes a lot of something, all right. That takes a lot of
apparently not a lot of brain cells.
No, not a lot of those, though. And now we go to some good stories of the day. A guy in California was working under his truck last month when it fell on him. But luckily, his 15-year-old son was able to lift the truck just enough, and a security camera got it on video. The dad ended up with some broken ribs, a separated shoulder, a punctured lung. He should not only make a full recovery, but he has never been more proud of his son.
Of course.
Yes. My bad. Jeez.
Wow.
A woman in North Carolina gave birth to a healthy baby girl last month. And hit the lottery for $100,000 the same day.
Wow, that was a red letter day.
So is the daughter's nickname Lucky?
Right? You would think.
Name Lotto.
Yeah, there you go.
You got to think that winning that has to play into her naming. Oh, like whatever they name that young child, you would think has got to be in there. That is awesome. What a cool story that is. Some Home Depot workers near Nashville found an envelope in the middle of an aisle with $700 in it, and tracked down the rightful owner on Facebook. It turned out it was money for his kids' Christmas gifts.
Yay.
Yeah, that's we're hear a lot of these kind of stories this time of year. But I think it should be noted too, we've had a couple of them throughout the year. Where not a lot of them or anything, but we have had a good handful of these kind of stories, which I think are great.
Great.
And here's some good news for your wallet. Gas prices are now lower than they were when Russia invaded Ukraine just over 9 months ago. Yeah. The national average was $3.54 on February 24th and shot way up over the summer, but it's dropped below that number in the past week. Last checked, nationally, it is at $3.41.
Yay.
Certainly certain areas lower than others, but just a really, really good story right there, of course. Locally, want to touch on this one again. Another good story coming up in a couple of days. 40th Annual Pearl Harbor Remembrance. Please join the Southwood County Allied Veterans Council and the Fleet Reserve Association, Branch 238, in remembering and honoring a date which will live in infamy. Mm. Wednesday, December 7th at 10 a.m. at the Donald J. Knuth Memorial Hall, VFW Post 2534 at 2711 Redden Road in Wisconsin Rapids. Ceremony is open to the public to attend, food and drinks to follow the ceremony. Not only is this a great way to remember this day, to remember those and everybody that was a part of that day and that we lost on that day, it's another great way to help out local and help out our local VFW. The events that they host over there, when they are well attended, when we are able to contribute to them, that contributes to our whole community. Mm-hmm. They put into the whole community, so it's a great win-win right there.
Absolutely.
And certainly want to touch on this one, too, because I thought this was a pretty cool story. It comes to us from thegoodnewsnetwork.org, and a shout-out to them for this. Let's see. Half of Americans said there's not enough time in the holiday season to do everything they want to do, according to a new poll. But it all puts them in a good mood. The survey asked 2,000 adults about how they spend time during the holiday season and found that 52% try to fit in as many festive activities as possible.
Wow.
And we go a little crazy doing this.
Just a little.
It's it's the equivalent of, I don't know how many people like experience this, but definitely when you're young and you first start dating. And the holidays come about. Mm-hmm. And what do we try to do? We try to hit as many places as possible. Mm-hmm. Got to get to the grandparents, got to get to the parents, and then your significant other's parents. Mm-hmm. And then you got to get to this place. And this, you're trying to cram all this in and doing this all with a smile on your face at the same time and being in the holiday spirit and everything. Mm-hmm. So this may be why half of Americans wish the holiday season lasted longer than it actually does, 54% in fact. Mm. While most of these respondents said up to two more weeks would suffice, 59%, 4 in 10 wouldn't mind the holidays went on even longer. Conducted by one poll on behalf of Dutch Brothers Coffee, 74% of those surveyed reported that prepping for the holiday season puts them in a good mood, with a third claiming that they are the most festive person they know.
Wow.
Some respondents shared their unique holiday traditions, such as wearing costumes on Christmas morning, hiding a pickle ornament on the tree, and mm-hmm. so many of these fun traditions we have. But overall, more and more people were talking about this like, oh, I need more holiday season. I need more time to prepare. I don't know. I don't know if we do or we don't necessarily. But I do think that it seems like a positive to me. It seems like a positive that we want it, whether we need it or not, or all those things. That's another story, I feel like. That's another case, and we've got like 3 minutes. I do find that it's pretty cool, the overwhelmingly amount of people that say that just in the season automatically puts them in a better mood. And that even when they're running around like a mad person and everything, being in the holiday season makes them a little happier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're all used to being busy. Mm-hmm. And having those crazy days where we're trying to get 9,000 things done in 24 hours and that kind of thing. So that's not that uncommon for us on a yearly basis. But it being that time of year and then that being kind of busy.
Right.
And mm-hmm. still being okay, still being happy, as opposed, I think that there's something to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But some families extend it themselves.
Yes.
Like my family always does something in January, sometimes into February if we need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beth started off our show telling us that you guys just had Thanksgiving.
We did. So you can choose your dates to do that.
Yeah.
Right. So
I think that it's all well and good. I think that you pick and you find your moments mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. do these mm-hmm. things. And there are so many people that have to work on holidays so that their families have to have on the December 26th or the week before or whatever. Mm-hmm. I do think that we're getting better about this, though, mm-hmm. as far as giving each other grace with this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And giving each other enough time for these things. I don't mean just as people like to each other, but businesses doing more of this with with their employees, mm-hmm. Making more of a point to, whether it's for PR reasons or just good reasons, I don't care. They're doing it. Mm-hmm. More and more people having these holidays off.
Mm-hmm.
Which can only, I mean, I don't see a negative to.
Right.
I don't see, anything like that. Somebody who has worked almost every Christmas and those kind of things, I will say that, yeah, it's nice to see people having the mm-hmm. days off. It's mm-hmm. good. It's a positive.
It adds to the holiday cheer.
It does.
Thank you both so very much for the Kitchens Open and all
You're
the
welcome.
Great content today. You both are rock. We appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Do want to remind everybody that coming up is A Miracle on 34th Street. That'll be premiering on this Friday, December 9th mm-hmm. at the Centralia Center at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater studio. Just go ahead and check it out. There, walk over to the Centralia Center, get your tickets, and get in and take in this show. We'll talk more about it, of course, as we get closer to it.
Right.
Beth, we probably won't talk to you on air before then, so break a leg.
Thank
have a great
you.
Run.
Yes, have a
and
great show.
You're going to kill it. You're going to do great. Melissa, thank you so much. We'll talk again tomorrow, okay?
We lost her.
Did we well, hey, we made it right up to the last
we
20
did.
Seconds.
Yay.
All right, Beth. Yeah, yeah. Beth, you have a great day.
You too, James.
Have a good one. Meet us back here tomorrow, everybody, for more right here at, well, Seth, you say it.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.